Hi everyone, my name is Anastasia, also known as Xavier Tempest, and this is my podcast. Welcome. The primary goal is always going to be expanding our consciousness as we become more conscientious of our lifestyle and choices and everything that makes us who we are. And just a quick reminder, you are not who you think you are. And you certainly have no ties to the past of that identity. So let your thoughts go and allow your soul to flow. So today, I just want to go off a rant again and just talk currently. As I always say, a work in progress, just to kind of highlight the key points of things that I've been learning. So I've been getting into philosophy, and I'm really just in the midst of breaking down the foundations of my belief system and analyzing the core values of my life and who I am. And one of those core values is to always have hope, regardless of how dark, scary, chaotic this world can be. So often used to find myself driven into a nihilistic, very worthless or meaningless mindset where I would just think that my existence, that I used to just be nothing. You know, my existence had no purpose to it. And a lot of those thoughts, they typically come from a sense of pity. I used to pity myself. I used to really feel sorry for myself and for all the things that I had gone through. This is natural when, you've gone through trauma at very young ages. And so when you're young, you go through the phases of expressing yourself and just trying new things and being encouraged to develop in multiple directions in order to figure out which one works best for you. And when that foundation is shaky and you've never really received the direction. So a lot of what has made my life very chaotic is not having any form of tunnel vision towards a single goal or having any vision to pursue. I think a lot of it was just, maybe I do want this, maybe I like that, but what I'm really going to do for the rest of my life is always going to be up in the air, and it's never going to be fully determined, no matter how much soul-seeking I do. And that was my life for years. And growing up, having to go through another phase of self-discovery and exploration of the things that I love has really helped me out with this, and I feel like I've been trying new things that I didn't feel like I had the freedom to do as a kid. One of those things is creating art, because I was actually having a lot of flashback memories when I got my iPad. And it was basically when I was in kindergarten. And, at that age, you start trying new things, and I started painting for the first time. While everyone else was creating something, I kind of stared at a blank canvas, and I was just like, what should I write? Because, or not really write, but draw. Or both. You could write, you could draw. You basically, create anything. And I started coloring, I started painting, and I was just like, I don't know where I'm going. I have nothing I want to draw in my mind. And so I just started getting a bunch of different colors and splattering it on the piece of paper. And just kind of, going crazy with it. I was just like not even trained to color or draw anything. It was just a bunch of browns and blues and blacks just like all merging together into one like ugly pigmentation. And I started encouraging the person next to me. So it was four of us at a table, and everyone had their own easel, or however you say it. And I looked over the person next to me, they were actually coloring something, which looked like they were making grass, they were making like the skies, they were drawing the old typical, grass at the bottom, sun in the corner of the page. You know, like, it's like they had a vision of something to create. I didn't. And so I started encouraging that other person to mess up their painting and just do what I was doing. And eventually I got them to do it as well. I was not the best influence growing up, but I mean, I just went crazy with it. And then, you know, at first it felt satisfying. It felt really good to have that chaos expressed. And then everyone had finished their painting and I was looking around and I started to realize that no one except the person next to me and me, which I had encouraged them. If it wasn't for me, then they would have had, you know, regular painting. I was one of the only people in the room that pretty much didn't draw anything. They didn't have any form of creation, just random colors splattered on the page in a chaotic mess. And therefore, I don't know, I did one of the two things, and this was like a really like back of the mind memory. So I either, from what I remembered, I either switched the painting between me and another person, and I said theirs was mine. Or I think the other thing that I did, I might have done both from what I have remembered. I can't exactly say which one I did, but I know I did one or the other. The other thing was that I ended up messing a couple other people's paintings. It was like two or three people, I think, that were right next to me. I started messing up their paintings because I was afraid of being. And what I did triggered a reaction. And I don't think I actually switched that. I think I did the second thing, I'm pretty sure, because the reaction that I got, I remember the girl next to me was like, "You messed up my painting." I'm pretty sure that that's what she said. She said something along those lines, and the teacher got mad at me. And I used to, you know, get in trouble a lot, but, you know, this was one of the things I felt very embarrassed about. And the reason why I felt embarrassed was because initially I actually did want to create something, but I just had no vision and it ended up just turning into a big mess. And, so from there on, I never really drawed or colored. I tried to, but I wasn't very good at it. And I used to actually be very it's either self-deprecating or self-depreciating. Well, I was very depreciating. Myself. I used to, you know, I would draw a monkey, I would draw a stick figure, I would draw something, and I would just make fun of it. I never really took my art seriously. I never saw it as like a form of self-expression. And I always ridiculed myself and looked down on myself for not really being much of an artist. And so my creativity pivoted in a different direction, and it started going more towards writing. And so I believe it was starting in like the third or fourth grade where I would just write a bunch of random crazy stories that made no sense, but they're pretty funny and they would make other people laugh, so that's why I enjoy doing it. And one of them was about the adventure through the toilet. It was like basically like a spaceship getting flushed down the toilet and like meeting aliens inside of the toilet. Like, it was a ridiculous storyline, but it was funny and it triggered a lot of attention, and a lot of people were like, "Hey, you should write, you should be like an editor," and things like that, because I had a bunch of wonderful ideas. And so that's what led to me writing all the time. I've written so many stories, poems, journals, so many things. I could probably have about maybe 2,000 to 3,000 pages of writing, maybe even more, probably way more. I can't really like put a scale on how much I've written, but it's definitely actually maybe in the tens of thousands, definitely up there. But now that I'm older and I've already gone through, you know, the artistic expression of my youth, I'm revisiting, you know, things that I didn't get to value as a kid. And it really takes a lot of courage to revisit those aspects of yourself that have been suppressed, because it made me realize how many blockages were in my life that really prevented me from, you know, even potentially becoming an artist, if maybe I was guided in the right direction and I was taught these things at a young age, I thought about, you know, pretty much all the things that I wasn't raised upon and I was never taught how to do. And I thought, I was thinking, what if I was taught these skills as a kid? My life would have been so much easier. I probably could have been an artist by now, probably would have been an author, probably would have done, you know, at least something in my life, because I've heard so many stories of people, they start on a craft at a really young age, you know, they start in like their early teenage years, late adolescence, or they just start sometime, you know, like before they even leave high school on a skill or asset. By the time they already graduate, they go to college, and, you know, they take classes, and then they eventually, you know, get a career in that asset, which I probably could have done, but I just had no direction. I think for the most part, I've never had any direction in my life. I've always felt like a winging life, and I think a lot of people can relate to that, so it's definitely not something I just go through, but a lot of other people have definitely experienced when they don't really have much guidance growing up, and there's no one really to blame. I mean, I could blame my parents, but at the same time, you know, when you grow up in poverty and, you know, instability and, you know, violence and drug addiction, it's just crazy life, you know. You don't really have a solid foundation in that environment, and there's so many other things you are you're forced to focus on that you can't even think about, oh, let me just create a piece of art, or let me go ahead and, you know, develop a creative skill that maybe may get me somewhere in life later on. Those aren't the type of things you think when you're in survival mode. And so I can 100% say most of my life has been lived in survival mode, and it's just hyper-focusing so much on debt, maybe not just having enough money to do things. I think if I had enough money to do the things that I wanted to do growing up, I would have definitely made it to, you know, maybe a university, or maybe I would have, you know, been more well-established or well-off at this age of being 23, but I've come to realize that it's never too late to learn a skill. And in fact, I'm starting to learn Japanese right now, and I want to learn Hawaiian and Spanish, and I have the app for it. It's called Duolingo. I'm not going to do a whole advertisement on it, but it's really awesome. It's actually very engaging, and I think it really... I forgot what the term is, but it's basically, it gives you a lot of positive reinforcement. Like, it makes you feel very satisfied about, you know, getting things right and proceeding to the next level. So it incentivizes you with positivity and encouragement for getting things right. So that's one thing I really enjoy about the app. But I've just been really learning a lot, you know, these past few years of my life. I think pretty much I touched a bit on my spiritual awakening the last podcast I had. And now this podcast is just more so just going into some, you know, psychological, philosophical aspects of my life. But yeah, I've been, you know, getting into philosophy again. And I love philosophy because it's just like the definition of going down the rabbit hole. It's just studying your own life, you know, the purpose of everything, you know, the value of meaning inherent in all things. I believe if you have the eyes to see, everything has value, and I think it's really up to the inheritor to behold that purpose and value, but I believe it takes a very special set of eyes and character. You have to have the heart to desire and the mind to know, and just the ability to surpass your previous state of awareness and really taking things to, you know, the next level of consciousness, the next level. You know, we call it transcendence when, you know, we, you know, take it to the next plane. And, you know, I'm not going to say we're completely transcending the physical world, but in some sense, these ideas, these beliefs, you know, the expression of art itself, I believe is transcendent because it derives from a realm that's not physically tangible. And that's why I love art, and even though I'm not exactly the best at it, still a work in progress, I plan to work more on my art someday and really, really
explicitly and intimately express the visions inside of my head. So we'll definitely get to some point. It may take a year, years, you know, probably a decade at most, probably my whole life. But, you know, it's definitely heading in that direction, and I think that's something to definitely be proud of. So as far as anything else, I'm really getting in the midst of just reading a lot more. I'm taking a couple classes, so I'll definitely be sharing more knowledge that is more organized. Like, I have some plans for this podcast in the future. Of course, this is like the genesis, the trial error, me building my confidence, and just understanding communication, the power of communication, different communication styles, and just all the different ways of influencing people. And I have positive intentions with this. I don't have any intention to be any form of negative influence on anyone else. And if I'm perceived that way, then that's, you know, so be it. But that is never my intention. And, you know, I'm pretty solidified when it comes to that intention. I don't think I really step too much out of the box. But of course, you know, you trigger people no matter what you do, because everyone's just not the same, in the sense that everyone has the same beliefs, the same ideals, the same views of the world, and often, you know, your beliefs may be rejected by the, you know, common population or society, or even the government, or religion, and anywhere that has a set fixed belief system, you can bet that your beliefs, if you are flowing and freely observing and learning about life, that you will find yourself eventually hitting roadblocks when it's influencing or teaching other people. And that's just the part of life we have to come to accept. And, you know, no matter how different I am from my parents, from my friends, anyone, from my family, I, you know, will always have love in my heart for them. And I'll always try to find a way of understanding things differently. Maybe not in the moment, because I can be stubborn, but of course when that time comes, you know, I have to humble myself if something, you know, new information has been presented, and I have to accept that maybe something I believed was wrong, or it just wasn't, you know, had a stable foundation in reality. You know, if something I believe in my head is proven wrong in reality, then it sucks, and, you know, there's often a resistance that comes with it, because I don't really like to be wrong, but if I have to be, then that's just the way the truth works. You know, the truth doesn't apologize for being real, and the truth certainly doesn't need to be acknowledged to be real. The truth is the truth, and that's just the way things are. And no matter how often or how much you want to believe the opposite of it, it doesn't stop it from being true. The truth always remains, it's like a relentless fixed force. Like, it's completely stabilized, but then at the same time, it's also always changing based off what we believe. So it has two aspects of its nature that can, you know, be counteracted. And we find ourselves resisting the truth because of this reason, because we're not willing to change, or we're too busy believing too many different things at once, that the truth brings us to a grounded and rooted state of being that we just have to, you know, surrender to. So it's a dualistic reality, and I really love learning about dualities and, you know, paradoxical existence, the two sides of the coin, or the multi-dimensional sides of a reality, the different ways of viewing things, because there's never a singular perspective. There's never just one perspective of all things. There's always going to be an infinite amount of perspectives, as long as an infinite amount of realities exist. And considering the universe is always expanding, there's really no limitation. Like, there really is. But I'm going to keep this relatively short today, because I just want to get some thoughts out. I have a few other things to do, but, well, thank you so much if you are listening. I really do appreciate the love and support. I will definitely be releasing more content in the future. I'm going to try to do these at least one to three times a week. Maybe I can start developing more, more routinely time of posting and dates and things like that. So we'll see how things go. Well, I wish you guys all the best. Thank you so much, and have a blessed day.